Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
This is Wretched Radio. That is Donald Trump staking his position on the life issue, confidently stating this should no longer be a federal conversation. It is a states' right issue. Will it become the Dred Trump position that led to a civil war when we tried to find this sort of compromise once upon a time in the 19th century regarding slavery? Or will it be exactly the way that it should go down based on the American Constitution? Now, I just checked thoroughly. I do not have a degree in politics, so I ain't going to comment on that. I'm not going to comment on the jockeying of the chess pieces on the election table. I'm going to leave that up to other folks. But what I do want to dive into is interacting with this position, which is pragmatic to the core. This is all about winning an election, and I feel the weight of this. Donald Trump is right. If somebody, he, for instance, was thoroughly pro-life, I don't think he'd win either. I don't know, but I don't think that he would. So the alternative is, he has to stake a compromise position to hopefully placate some liberal women and encourage them to maybe vote for him, because I guess he's not as big a threat to my promiscuity as I thought that he was. I feel the weight of this. Do you think anybody in their right mind wants 4 years of the same administration? Not a chance. So I'm not being a political prognosticator. That just isn't my territory. But I do believe we still need to think this through so that we don't find ourselves in 4 more years saying, okay, 15 weeks didn't work. 30. We'll give you 30. We'll overlook brainwaves, heartbeat, which are all our arbitrary markers of life, by the way. 35, 30, 36, 30. How's about that you just can't let the baby be born and die on the table? Will you accept? Where are we willing to draw the line? And my encouragement is, we draw the line before Donald Trump's line. And even though we are going to have to vote for the lesser of two evils, we should be the loud voices that are still in the conversation, making the issue what the issue is. What is inside of the mother's womb? And if there isn't a voice out there that is willing to perhaps expose itself to the critique that you're trying to sell out America, that you're trying to help the Democrats to win, we need to nevertheless find the ability to say, look, we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, but that does not mean we agree at all or overlook that position at all. And we should be able to summon up the courage to say, I'm sorry, sir, that position is wrong. Now, what will that get you? It might get you a tweet from the former president himself, just like it did for Lindsey Graham, and I'm not a fan. It got him a tweet because Lindsey Graham was critical of Donald Trump's new position on life, or at least the one that he's currently publicizing, and he got blasted for it. And what was the threat in that tweet? That you're going to let the Democrats win. You keep going for your pro-life position, Lindsey, and you got 4 more years of Joe Biden. Okay. I feel that. But does that mean we have to be quiet about this? Does that mean that we shouldn't still be speaking up for little babies? Does that mean that we need to be silent on the subject of life because it is not pragmatic politically? I get the tension. This is a thoroughly pragmatic position from Donald Trump. It is entirely political, but it's not entirely pro-life. And we've got to figure out a way to still be a loud voice for life, even while saying, yep, that's the side we got to vote for. Nevertheless, in this instance, all right, this is going to get my chops busted. In this instance, I think that some Democratic critics will actually have a point. I don't think they had the same point when they said, oh, you evangelicals are willing to vote for a guy who does, let's just say, his ethics and his lifestyle doesn't exactly align with Christian. You just overlooked that. At that time, I said, no, this is the guy who represents our values the most. Therefore, we have to vote. Would we prefer somebody with different standard? Yes. Would we prefer somebody with a different pet? Yes. Would we prefer somebody who perhaps tweets differently? Sure. But that wasn't compromising, in my opinion. But I wonder if we wouldn't be validly tagged as being hypocritical because we simply don't talk about this issue. This was our issue. This was the biggie. I've been doing this long enough to know that. This was 25 years ago. We were doing pro-life events and local radio in Minneapolis, St. Paul, although not in that order. This is what we're about. And I'm not saying that you have to denounce this guy for president, but I am saying we need to denounce this position. Because if we don't, it's just a matter of time before the actual issue disappears and more babies will die. In other words, this is an issue worth finding that position, that very tenuous ground where we hold on to our biblical morality as well as being aware of political realities.
Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
Uh-oh. That's not the way that this Constitution and Republic is set up. The will of the people is expressed in the voting booth, and then the politicians are to represent us and vote the wisest they can, despite what their constituency says. He's right. This will be a state's issue, and it's going to be more here, less there. I think the question that I think is worth at least putting out on the table is, I get the states' rights issue. I get it. That is the way we were set up, by the way. But would we say that with other issues? Rape. It's a state right issue. There's going to be some states, they're more lenient on rape than others. But it's the will of the people. You'd go, something's wrong with that.
You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith.
How's about science? How's about the reality that what is inside of the woman's womb is alive?
Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote.
That was a conflating of the issue. That was... I'll leave the political commentary aside. Do what your heart tells you. Take the life of a child if that's what your heart tells you? Can I rape if that's what my heart tells me? I'm sorry. You just quickly switch slavery. Just do what your heart tells you. You need to decide whatever it is that your religion says and do it. But you better make sure that you vote. Otherwise, we're going to have really bad people in office.
At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people.
No, we want what is right and what is good and what is godly. And frankly, what is common sense, it is also scientific. It is also logical. That's what we want. to let everybody decide for themselves. I do believe, not sure, but I think there's a book in the Bible that actually deals with that subject for 12 brutal chapters, what everybody does when they determine what is right in their own mind.
I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
Again, that just is not a pro-life position. If I might, redundantly, repetitively, but necessarily, I'm not saying that you should vote for the donkey party. What I am saying is if you and I do not maintain a consistent, total pro-life position, it is just a matter of time before millions more lives are taken via abortion. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle. And you finally get to the point of frustration where you think you're never going to get out. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. And in that scenario, we welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And whether you've listened or not, you'll realize really quickly it's not your everyday radio show. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford takes issues that many, if not all of us, struggle with, and it matches them up to hope and healing through the pages of the Bible. It is genuinely an entirely new perspective. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. we can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline.
This is Wretched Radio. That pretty much sums up the issue in a nutshell. If we do not compromise on the life issue, we will lose the election and everything that that entails. We will lose every single conservative value that we hold dear. It's going to be gone. So in other words, if we don't compromise on the subject of abortion, America is going under. That is where we are today. And that is what you and I have got to sort through. And am I telling you that I'm making some sort of pontification about how we are supposed to speak in every arena, how we're supposed to deal with this? What about those Christians who are politicians? I'm absolutely not. But at the very least, I am hoping that we can still maintain some pro-life consistency and say, I'm sorry. I know that you're the better of two choices, but this position is awful. You say, well, the other one is worse. I know the other one is worse, but that doesn't make this position palatable. And we've got to figure out a way to continue to be a prophetic voice, not a political choir. We must be the voice that says, thus saith the Lord. And if you want to add, thus saith logic, reason, and thus saith science. But if we don't, who's gonna speak up for these babies? It isn't acceptable to say 15 weeks is going to be the compromise position any more than we would say rape is bad under the age of 12. But I can understand, though. All right, 15. We'll give it 15. Rape under the age of 15 is bad, but it's acceptable after 15. You'd go, absolutely not. And this is an opportunity for us to potentially find our voice. Trust me, I don't want the current administration in for another 4 years. Really? Does any Christian really? But that doesn't mean we should just zip it regarding the lives of children. We've got to be able to say there are bigger things. Now, you're gonna potentially take this wrongly. There are bigger things than political victories. Here's a question for you. Now, please note, I'm not suggesting don't vote. I'm not saying that. I think we should vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm not thrilled about it, but that's what we got, and we should do. We ought to do it. But I would also say simultaneously, we've got to recognize that our issues that are based on biblical principles and values, and frankly, rather explicit texts, we can't just set those aside for political expediency. How many babies are you willing to have killed to win an election? Now, believe me, I've stated this. I couldn't be more emphatic. I get it. The consequences of losing this election are really quite horrific. I get it. But the life of a child is at stake. That's what we're dealing with, human lives here. We're dealing with children who are going to be dismembered in the womb. And frankly, I don't care if they can feel pain or not. The issue is they have human dignity. They're image bearers of God. They should be protected, not vacuumed out of their mother's womb, reassembled on a medicinal table, and have its bits and pieces counted to make sure we didn't leave a part of that foreign object inside of the mother. That is barbarism. That is absolute. Does it get any more grotesque than that? I hope we still agree sacrificing babies to Moloch wasn't a really good idea. Is this any less? Is this somehow better than that. And I know, I feel this, and I hope you feel me feeling that. I feel this. The consequences are big. And I understand what would happen if Joe Biden wins again. I get it. But I am not going to be silent for the sake of winning an election. We can't be silent on this. This is a bigger issue. Politics. I know it's important. We're talking about the lives of human beings. And if you and I stop defending life verbally, vocally, and voraciously, just really emphatically stating there should be no exceptions, then I think we will have sold our birthright for a bowl of political pottage.
Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together.
By the way, this is addressed at you and me. I understand a politician playing the field. I get it, because you're not going to make everybody happy. I get it. But clearly a decision was made here that you and I will take it. You and I will accept this because the alternative is atrocious. And he's right. And I agree with that from a political standpoint. But that doesn't mean we should say, all right, fine, let's just move on. Can we hold those two things in tension?
Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink. And that's where it is. It's at the brink. And we will.
This is powerful. This is powerful. But this has been an argument that has been used in different societies before. Do you want your nation back? Then we need to do this. And it goes against our moral grain. But we say, okay, we'll accept it because the alternative is so much worse. And the reality is, to a degree, we are. But that doesn't mean we should be mum. That doesn't mean that we can't say, sir, you're not a pro-life candidate. And we'd prefer one that were, because that issue, the issue of human lives, now this, you can put this on a scale and weigh it for yourself. The issue of human lives is more important than winning an election. There, I said it. One baby. What if it were just your baby? What if it were your child? Hey, we've got to kill your child if we're going to win this election. I suspect most of us would say, not a chance. You're going to have to figure out another way, but you're not taking the life of my child. And that should be our attitude with all of these children. You're not going to take the life of these children for the sake of political expediency. As high as the stakes are, the stakes of life are higher still.
We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Now, that was entirely aimed at you and me. He's telling us to plug our noses. And to that I say, no, we will not plug our noses. We're gonna vote for the lesser of two evils. But regarding this issue, which is not on the level of shovel-ready jobs, tax breaks for the rich, our GDP, our military strength, this is bigger. It's always been bigger to us. And so you are put in a position, so am I, that where you have to accept this. And I say, I'll vote for you, but I don't accept it. I don't accept it at all. And if we don't start, maybe this is something that we can actually do, as we are also weary of people saying, do something, and then we're never told what you can do. Okay, I got two things now. You could support preborn ministries. They're on the battle line, saving lives, saving babies, because when a woman sees what is in her womb via an ultrasound, she chooses life 80% of the time. That's something you can do, and I encourage you to do that. preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. That is something that you can do. Here's something else that we could potentially do when we have these conversations. When you're asked, for whom are you going to vote? Even if it is among friendly company. Hey, what do you think about the election? I think we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, and I hate it that we are put in this position. And I wish we never were, but we are, so we're going to do what we have to do. But we've got to keep speaking up for life because currently nobody is on the national level. We don't have that choice, but that doesn't mean we have to be silent. We can't be silent on this. That is something simple that we can do. You can be as excited as you want to about the election and about Donald Trump. I'm not going to argue with you on that, but I am going to take issue with babies dying in the womb. And I am going to take issue that we are willing to be silent for the sake of potentially winning an election. Discuss. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.